All right. Well, I'm going to share with you today on a subject called Thank You God. How many know that Thanksgiving Day is only about a week and a half away? It falls on November 26th, the last Thursday this month in November. It actually falls on the last Thursday of every November end. So many people in America think that Thanksgiving Day is about turkey and good food and hanging out with family and friends. Those are the benefits of Thanksgiving Day, right? But we as Christians know that Thanksgiving Day is rooted in giving thanks to whom? Giving thanks to God. I want to kind of give you a brief historical overview of how Thanksgiving Day began in the United States. Well, it began in Plymouth Colony in 1623 with the first colonists. And they were having a pretty rough time. The land was not producing the vegetables it should have produced. And there was a ship that was supposed to come in with other people and supplies. And so the land wasn't producing, the ship did not come in, and so the colonists, as they understood it, basically proclaimed a day of humiliation and prayer and fasting to God. They humbled themselves before Almighty God. And they're like, God, we're in trouble. God, we need your intervention. And so the next day, rain began to fall on the land. For so many days, and the fields began producing again. The ship that they thought was lost came in, and so they set aside another day, Thanksgiving Day, to give thanks to God for intervening miraculously in their lives. So, as the first colonists understood it, Thanksgiving Day began in 1623, and in 1863, Abraham Lincoln established the last Thursday in November as the official United States Thanksgiving holiday. So Thanksgiving, friends, is rooted in giving thanks to Almighty God. Now, last night, I watched a... how many here have ever heard of Extreme Makeover? Home Edition. It's run by Ty Pennington. And basically what they do is they find the most desperate and needy families, and they screen them somehow, however they do that, and then they build them a brand new home. Well, last night's edition, on November 15th of 09, they picked a family called the Stott family. And the woman of the family, Mrs. Stott, was diagnosed with leukemia. And so she needed a bone marrow transplant, somebody to donate bone marrow. And so a certain individual, a guy, donated bone marrow. And listen, you got to go through surgery to donate bone marrow. They drill into your hips, they pull out that bone marrow, and then they give it to the patient. And so she knew that a man had donated bone marrow to save her life, but she had never met him face to face. So last night on Extreme Makeover, she got to meet her bone marrow donor face to face. Guys, it was such an emotionally touching moment where they met. She was crying. She was deeply grateful for this man who helped save her life. And she was thankful. And my question to you today is this. How would you feel if somebody physically helped save your life? Maybe they donated bone marrow to you. Maybe they donated a vital body organ to you. How would you feel if somebody helped save your life from death? You feel grateful, right? You'd be indebted to the person. Say it again.
I'm grateful for God for giving his life for me right now.
That's good. And you'd be deeply grateful. You'd be indebted to the person who helped save your life, right? Your attitude might be like my attitude. What could I do to help you? If there's anything that I could do to help you, let me know and I'll do it. And so here's the good news, friends. That's exactly what God did 2,000 years ago. Would you agree? He saved our lives through the work of Jesus Christ. You see, we were all bound for hell, for an eternity separated from God. But 2,000 years ago, God gave His very best. He gave Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He gave Jesus Christ, God the Son. And Jesus Christ left the splendor and the beauty of heaven to come to a sin-riddled world. Born into this world. And He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. And then at 33 years of age, He fulfilled His ultimate mission. What did He do? He went to the cross. In a sense, He donated His blood. He shed His blood for you and for me. He died upon a cross so that we would not have to die in hell. That's good news. Amen?
The price is paid.
The price has been paid. And so What did God do? He gave us an awesome gift through the work of Jesus Christ and by our faith in Jesus. What gift did God give to you and to me?
Life.
He gave us the gift of eternal life. You know what? Eternal life is the greatest gift anybody could ever receive. You know, we can thank God with our words. We can say, God, I thank you for the gift of eternal life. And words are good. But even more significant than words are actions. Would you agree? Even more significant than words are actions. God, you saved my life eternally. And my way of saying thank you to you, God, is by me reaching out to another person and helping save their life. See, there's a way that we can say thank you to God for saving our lives eternally. Amen?
Amen.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. 25 through 37. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. How many have read this before? All right. Remember, the greatest thing that we could be thankful to God about is the gift of eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26. What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 28. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So my question to you today is this, friend. How do we say thanks to God for the greatest gift that He gave us, the gift of eternal life?
Do His works.
Accepting Jesus Christ in our hearts.
Okay, anybody else?
Do His will, what He can do.
Okay, so that's good, okay, exactly. How do we say thank you to God for the gift of eternal life that He has given to us? Go ahead, John. Loving God with all of our hearts. Okay, that's good. Loving God and loving our neighbor. We can say thank you to God for the gift of eternal life by loving our neighbor. And so here in America, we have an understanding of what neighbor is. We have this general concept of neighbor, right? A lot of people know that neighbor means the person who lives next door to you. Or the person who sleeps on the mat next to you. Maybe it's the person that sleeps above you. Or the person that sleeps below you. It might be the person that lives across the street from you. But Jesus, in this parable, expands the concept of neighbor. Neighbor is more than just the person that lives next to you. Now, you have to understand that the Jews... See, this Jew was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers. They beat him, and he was bleeding, right? And, you know, a Levite came. A priest came. Those who had the law, those who should have known to be moved with the compassion of Christ. But they did nothing. And then a Samaritan came, and he reached out to the bleeding Jew. Now, historically, you have to understand this. That Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. There were racial animosities between Jews and Samaritans. But what did the Good Samaritan do? He stepped beyond those racial animosities. He stepped beyond those racial boundaries because he was moved with the love of Jesus Christ to help the bleeding Jew. So what did Jesus ask the lawyer? He said, which was the neighbor to the man who was beaten? And how did the lawyer respond? Who was the neighbor to the man who was beaten? The one who had mercy on him. So when you meet somebody in greater need than yourself and you help that person, guess what? You become that person's neighbor. And that person that you help becomes your neighbor. So neighbor is more than just the person who lives next to you. Neighbor is anybody who is in need of your help. Amen?
Amen.
Would you agree with that today?
Amen.
You know, the Samaritan did what? He was acting as what? The Samaritan was acting as the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody in greater need than himself. My question to you this holiday season is this. Will you be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody who's in greater need than yourself? It may save their life. I want to read you an email that I received some time back. It's called The Pastor and His Son. You may have heard this before, but it's a good one to repeat. The Pastor and His Son. Every Sunday afternoon, after the morning service at the church, the pastor and his 11-year-old son would go out into their town and hand out gospel tracts. This particular Sunday afternoon, as it came time for the pastor and his son to go to the streets with their tracts, it was very cold outside, as well as pouring down rain. The boy bundled up in his warmest and driest clothes and said, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready." His pastor dad asked, "Ready for what?" "Dad, it's time we gather our tracts together and go out." Dad responded, "Son, it's very cold outside and it's pouring down rain." So the boy gave his dad a surprised look, asking, "But Dad, aren't people still going to hell even though it's raining?" The dad answered, "Son, I'm not going out in this weather." Desperately, despondently, the boy asked, "Dad, can I go please?" His father hesitated for a moment, then said, "Son, you can go. Here are the tracts. Be careful, son." "Thanks, Dad." And with that, he was off and out into the rain. His 11-year-old boy walked the streets of the town, going door to door and handing everybody he met in the street a gospel tract. After 2 hours of walking in the rain, he was soaking, bone-chilled wet, and down to his very last tract. He stopped on a corner and looked for someone to hand a tract to, but the streets were totally deserted. Then he turned towards the first home he saw and started up the sidewalk to the front door and rang the doorbell. He rang the bell, but nobody answered. He rang it again and again, but no one answered still. He waited, but still no answer. Finally, this 11-year-old trooper turned to leave, but something stopped him. Again, he turned to the door and rang the bell and knocked loudly on the door with his fist. He waited, something holding him there on the front porch. He rang again, and this time the door slowly opened. Standing in the doorway was a very sad-looking elderly lady. She softly answered, "What can I do for you, son?" With radiant eyes and a smile that lit up her world, this little boy said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry if I disturbed you. But I just want to tell you that Jesus really does love you. And I came to give you my very last gospel tract, which will tell you all about Jesus and His great love." With that, he handed her his last tract and turned to leave. She called to him as he departed, "Thank you, son, and God bless you." Well, the following Sunday morning in church, Pastor Dad was in his pulpit. As the service began, he asked, "Does anybody have any testimony or want to say something?" Slowly, in the back row of the church, an elderly lady stood to her feet. As she began to speak, a look of glorious radiance came from her face. "No one in this church knows me. I've never been here before. You see, before last Sunday, I was not a Christian. My husband passed on some time ago, leaving me totally alone in this world. Last Sunday, being a very cold and rainy day, it was even more so in my heart that I came to the end of the line where I was no longer had any hope or will to live. So I took a rope and a chair and ascended the stairway into the attic of my home. I fastened the rope securely to a rafter in the roof, then stood on the chair and fastened the other end of the rope around my neck. Standing on that chair so lonely and brokenhearted, I was about to leap off when suddenly the loud ringing of my doorbell downstairs startled me. I thought, I'll wait a minute, and whoever it is will go away. I waited and waited, but the ringing doorbell seemed to get louder and more insistent, and then the person ringing also started knocking loudly. I thought to myself again, who on earth could this be? No one ever rings my bell or comes to see me. I loosened the rope from my neck and started for the front door. All the while, the bell rang louder and louder. When I opened the door and looked, I could hardly believe my eyes. For there on my front porch was the most radiant and angelic little boy I had ever seen in my life. His smile, oh, I could never describe it to you. The words that came from his mouth caused my heart that had long been dead to leap to life as he exclaimed with cherub-like voice, "Ma'am, I just came to tell you that Jesus really does love you." Then he gave me this gospel tract that I now hold in my hand. As the little angel disappeared back into the cold and rain, I closed my door and read slowly every word of this gospel tract. Then I went up to my attic to get my rope and chair. I wouldn't be needing them anymore. You see, I am now a happy child of the King. Since the address of your church was on the back of this gospel tract, I have come here personally to say thank you to God's little angel who came just in the nick of time and by doing so spared my soul from an eternity in hell. There was not a dry eye in the church. And the shouts of praise and honor to the King resounded off the very rafters of the building. Pastor Dad descended from the pulpit to the front pew where the little angel was seated. He took his son in his arms and sobbed uncontrollably. And so, isn't that awesome? That little boy was what? That little boy was the hands and the feet of Jesus to a woman who was about to commit suicide. And friend, you can do the same. You can be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody out there in greater need than yourself. You might be wondering tonight, well, you know, Jonathan, I'm in great need myself. How can I reach out beyond myself? But friend, I'm here to tell you today that there is somebody out there in greater need than you. There is somebody out there that is going to sleep under a bridge tonight. There is somebody out there in downtown Tulsa tonight who is going to be sleeping on a street corner. Will you be the hands and the feet of Jesus to one of those people? You know, the Samaritan in the parable that we just read sacrificed in three different ways. He sacrificed. He laid his life down in three different ways. Anybody have any ideas from what we just read? What did he sacrifice to be the hands and the feet of Jesus to the bleeding Jew, to the beaten Jew? He sacrificed three things. That's good. Let's concentrate on that real quick. Number one, he sacrificed his time. You might be wondering why. Well, this Samaritan was on his way somewhere, right? He had a mission. He had to be somewhere. He had to be at a specific location. But what did he do when he saw the beaten Jew, the bleeding Jew? He stopped and he helped him out. He took time out of his busy schedule, picked up this Jew, and reached out with the love of Jesus Christ. Would you agree? I got another email that I'd like to read to you, a story that I received. It's called Being There for Someone in Need. A nurse took the tired, anxious serviceman to the bedside. "Your son is here," she said to the old man. She had to repeat the words several times before the patient's eyes opened. He was heavily sedated because of the pain of his heart attack. He dimly saw the young, uniformed Marine standing outside the oxygen tent. He reached out his hands. The Marine wrapped his toughened fingers around the old man's limped ones, squeezing a message of love and encouragement. The nurse brought a chair so that the Marine could sit beside the bed. All through the night, the young Marine sat there in the poorly lighted room, holding the old man's hand and offering him words of love and strength. Occasionally, the nurse suggested that the Marine move away and rest a while. He refused. Whenever the nurse came into the ward, the Marine was oblivious of her and of the night noises of the hospital, the clanking of the oxygen tank, the laughter of the night staff members exchanging greetings, the cries and the moans of the other patients. Now and then, she heard him say a few gentle words. The dying man said nothing, only held tightly to his son all through the night. Along towards dawn, the old man died. The Marine released the now lifeless hand he had been holding and went to tell the nurse. While she did what she had to do, he waited. Finally, she returned. She started to offer words of sympathy, but the Marine interrupted her. "Who was that man?" he asked. The nurse was startled. "He was your father," she answered. "No, he wasn't," the Marine replied. "I never saw him before in my life." "Then why didn't you say something when I took you to him? I knew right away that there had been a mistake, but I also knew he needed his son, and his son just wasn't there. When I realized that he was too sick to tell whether or not I was his son, knowing how much he needed me, I stayed. The next time someone needs you, Just be there and stay. This Marine did exactly what the Samaritan did in Luke chapter 10, right? He sacrificed what? His time. He was the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody in greater need than himself. Friend, there is somebody out there lonelier than you. Will you sacrifice some time this holiday season to be a friend to the friendless? Say, I will. I will be a friend to the friendless this holiday season. There's another thing that the Good Samaritan sacrificed. What's the second thing that the Good Samaritan sacrificed in Luke chapter 10?
Life to me.
His possessions.
All right, that's it. You got it. He's hitting the nail on the head. He sacrificed his finances, right? It says in verse 34, he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, money, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. So the Good Samaritan, number 2, sacrificed his resources, his finances. Friend, my question to you today is this. Will you do the same? Will you be the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody in greater need than yourself? You know, you may have $5 to your name, and somebody else out there may have nothing. They may need a dollar for a bus fare. Will you sacrifice a dollar of your $5 to help that person? That's your way of telling God, thank you for the gift of eternal life. God, you saved my life from eternal death. And I want to reach out and touch another life as a way of saying thank you for the gift of eternal life. God, I want to be the hands and the feet of Jesus as my way of saying I'm grateful for the gift of eternal life. Is that making sense? Yes. Number 3, what did the Good Samaritan sacrifice? Sacrificed his time, he sacrificed his finances, and number 3, he sacrificed his reputation. You might be asking, why his reputation? Remember, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, right? There were racial animosities between the Jews and the Samaritans, right? Remember I said that earlier? So what did he do? He sacrificed his reputation for something greater, for the compassion of Jesus Christ, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, you know? He sacrificed reputation. I mean, there might have been people talking and saying, you know what, I can't believe this Samaritan stepped out and helped a Jew. But he wasn't thinking about that. He didn't care about that. He didn't care about his reputation. There was something greater at stake, helping somebody in need. And that's what the Good Samaritan did. He laid it aside. He laid aside his reputation to be Jesus to somebody else. So my question to you is this. Will you reach out to somebody who looks different than you? Who smells different than you, who is of a different race than you, who looks like he is unkept? Will you step out beyond racial boundaries and reach to somebody who is so different than you in so many ways? Maybe speaks a different language. Maybe eats different food. You know, maybe as a child, as a youngster, you were trained not to reach out to those different than yourself. But will you be like the Good Samaritan, laying aside reputation and what people think, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? Amen? You know, if you're the hands and the feet of Jesus to somebody in greater need than you, then when you're in need one day, somebody will be the hands and the feet of Jesus to you. Amen? If you take care of God's business, guess what?
None come back void.
God will take care of your business. Amen?
Amen?
So I just encourage you guys, you know, to thank God for the gift of eternal life. How many thank God for the gift of eternal life?
Amen.
That your soul has been saved from hell. You can express your thanks with words, right? Saying, God, I thank you for eternal life. But more significant than words is what?
Action.
And what kind of action did we talk about today?
Being
the Good Samaritan, reaching out to somebody in greater need than yourself, being the hands and the feet of Jesus, sacrificing your time, your resources, and your reputation, not caring about what other people think. Amen?